Good morning. Welcome home. And do you know that I also have to say welcome home to those that are viewing? What do we call this live stream? We have a live stream now. Remember the Nielsen family? You know, the people who used to rate the television shows? Well, we have our own, very own Nielsen family. Their names are the Coopers. And so they've been watching us and giving us some good ratings. So we're thankful for that. Now, we want you to know that as we are going forward in this, and we have a live stream now, if they wanted to find the live stream, Jen, I'm sorry to put you on the spot, but if they wanted to find the live stream, what would they need to do? Okay, and that should allow you to find that. So thank you. All right. Someone sent me a T-shirt. Well, it was a picture of a T-shirt, actually. It wasn't a T-shirt. I wish they had given me the T-shirt. That would have been nice, right? And then I could have wore it. And it says, we don't do announcements anymore. This is your announcement. So there you go. But just a little reminder, if you have prayer requests, please make sure that you communicate those and I did it again before Emma runs up and grabs my water as it's falling all over the place. Sorry. I'm setting a terrible example for this live stream stuff. So anyway, but if you have any prayer requests, make sure that you fill those out and put them in the back. And also, as you notice down through the announcements in the bulletin, there is going to be a parent-child dedication in December coming up. I wanted you to know that. And make sure that you are visiting that bulletin board to fill up everything for our Light Up the Night, which is on the 31st. So I didn't make an announcement. Did you get that? All right. Let's stand. Let's stand. We have our scriptural invocation, and it's taken from Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 11, and then verse 13. So let's read this all together. But the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior, so my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. Sing to the Lord. Give praise to the Lord. He rescues the life of the needy from the hand of the wicked. And this is a prayer then based on that. So here we go. God, we praise you for being a God who rescues the needy. The Lord is with us through the storms of life, giving us a solid foundation in Christ. Let's praise the Lord.
Good morning, folks. Let's sing to our Lord, our God.
Sinking sand.
1 Timothy 6:19. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life.
Thank you.
may be seated. We're going to pray. Think about that question. Is it well in your soul? Is it well? Father of strength and power, we praise you that we can be strong in you and in the strength of your might. Says in Ephesians, finally be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the devil's schemes. As our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and authorities and powers of darkness and spiritual forces that are evil in all kinds of realms. Father, we know that we live in troubled times and even a dark world. We don't have to look far as far as headlines or television news to see the effects of that. So, Father, today we want to put on our spiritual armor, the helmet of knowing Christ, the helmet that goes of Christ, of our salvation, and knowing that he has us and we are covered by his blood and forgiven, and he's given us his righteousness. Father, put on that breastplate of righteousness on our hearts, over our emotions, over the things that we feel each day. And Lord, help us grow and give us a shield of faith and increase our faith today as things are fired at us from the evil in this world and from people who keep doing wrong. Lord, I pray that you would be with those that are sick, struggling. I think of John Rimmer. Thank you that he's here today. I pray for Lizzie, for Charles, for Chrissy, for Faith, and others that are on our prayer list. I pray for the cancer patients, for Bonnie, Barry, Vicky, and Rich. And Father, just the struggle that they are going through, it's hard to say all is well with my soul when you're struggling with the bouts of cancer. So Father, bring to them the strength that they need. We pray for those that are grieving. I know there's a gentleman that many of our folks know named Ben who passed away, and Tracy's own father, Wayne, who passed away suddenly on Thursday. Father, we just ask that you would heal their broken hearts and set the captive free and give them the strength that they need. Take the word of God, Lord, as our sword and bring comfort to their hearts. And Lord, I pray that you would be with our missionaries. I think of the Oosteyk family as they work in Haiti, and with those people that are going through such cultural devastation, and there's so much unrule and wickedness around them all the time, taking advantage of helpless people. Father, we just pray that you would help us as we pray for our neighboring churches. I think of Grace over in Milford with Pastor Josh and his wife Jessica. I pray that you would help them as a family. I know that his father passed away, and his family, they're all out in Kansas, and they are trying to sell the property and auction off things, and it's just a very difficult, overwhelming time for them right now. I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen their ministry across the river, and I pray, Lord, that you would keep building them strong on a foundation of Jesus Christ. And Father, I would pray that you would give us the shoes of peace, so that when we leave here today, that we have the hope of the gospel that we can take to somebody's life. Help make us cheerful, winsome people of the faith, so that when people look at our lives, they're like, I want Jesus. I want that. And we pray all these things through your power and your strength in Jesus' precious name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. For our scripture reading this morning, we're going to be reading from a parable that all of us know very well. In fact, if I were to go, a wise man built his house, you all know it. Huh. How do you know all that? It's because it's a song, and we've learned that. Well, if you would look at the scriptures with me this morning, and children are dismissed to children's church at this time, we're going to be going through this last parable of the Sermon of the Mount. It's a great image, and you can tell that I'm going to be, how many guessed that that's what we were preaching on when you looked up here up front and saw the sand and the stone? Yeah. So I'm going to begin as I read. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, who built his house, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And then the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching. For he had taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And may the Lord allow his word to take root and plant it in our hearts and our lives today. Amen. I would, as we're getting ready for this, you know what I would love to do? I would love to take you on a field trip before this message. It's such a well-known passage that we so often, we already know what the passage is about. We already know what's going to happen. It's no surprise for us because we know this scripture so well. But the question that we need to be asking ourselves is, can we trust a God who will take us through the storms? And this is a video of a song that's come out recently that I just want us to watch and think about and be asking the questions. Is God am I on the rock, Christ? And is God able to help me?
Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand, and everything around me is shaking. I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. He's faithful generations, so why would he fail now? He won't. I've still got joy in chaos, I've got peace that makes no sense, so I won't be. Why would he fail now? He won't.
Amen. Do you like that? I liked it too. I really needed a message like that this week. I don't know what kind of week you had. I don't know if it was a stormy week for you. For you, it might have been. For some of us, it just was clear and beautiful. But spiritually, we go through times of storm. And it's during those times of storm that sometimes we almost, I had somebody say to me, just a few days ago, I feel like what I'm going through right now, I'm about to lose my faith. And it's never God that is letting us down. So as you come in this morning, maybe you've come today and you've always said, well, Christ is my firm foundation. I'm building on him. But have you ever felt left down? Have you ever felt that you were losing your faith, or you didn't know what you were going to do about a certain situation that you're going through? We all need that assurance. So that's why I want us to look at this passage this morning. I want us to look at it from that lens of God will not fail us. He will not fail us. So let's pray. Lord, as we quiet our hearts today, we may be longing for your sure salvation, and I pray that you would give us strength and peace of that firm foundation in the midst of the clutter and the angst and the storms and the fears that maybe we've brought in today in the recesses of our hearts and our minds. So, Holy Spirit, would you settle in that we might rest and hear that still small voice, something in us that we can't do for ourselves, Lord. I pray that your spirit would move. And I pray for nothing less than supernatural transformation as a result of your spirit bringing your word to us. Be our firm foundation, Jesus. Help us to know what that means and to love you with all our hearts and with all our souls, and with all our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Jesus, as he's getting at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and we've entitled this The Jesus Way, in the last three messages, he's used these contrasting pictures. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring, by way of review, the pictures of what Jesus is challenging us with. He said there are two entrances, there are two gates, and one is a narrow way, it's a hard way, it's a difficult way to go. It's not the easy way. One is an easy way. Everybody's going that way in the world. And that way leads to destruction. But the hard way, it leads to life. It leads to everlasting life. And we need to ask ourselves, well, have I accepted Jesus' offer to enter into life with him? And I hope you have. The second picture that Jesus used last week when we were talking was, he used this idea of beware. Be very, very, very on your guard. There are a lot of people out there who are trying to sell their religion to you, and they want you to do and live like them. They are, and he used the idea of trees. A good tree, we can tell by their good fruit that they are a good tree. A bad tree, we can tell by the bad fruit that they are a bad tree. And so what about the fruit of our lives? Remember we asked the question, what am I planting with the choices that I make in my life? I want to make sure that I'm planting in Christ Jesus. And now he asks this phenomenal basic challenge of saying, where have you built your life? Are you building your life on the rock foundation of Christ, him? Or are you building it on the sand of self? And really, that is the question that he's asking us. I know it's not going to be a surprise to you, but I have a confession to make. I know nothing of building foundations for houses. I knew that you were going to be just so amazed by that. You know, you can tell that I know everything there is to know about building a house, right? Yeah. If you hired me to build the house, you would have a little hovel with a bunch of sticks piled up leaning against each other, and they're not even going to be nailed. Good thing I'm just so glad that Kyle's not around, because he would be making fun of me. Yeah, thanks. You'll be sure to tell him. Tell him to watch online. So, but anyway, when I was in my first church ministry, I learned something about the foundation of a house. When we moved into this little coal mining town in western Pennsylvania called Vintondale, it was over 100 years old. They were celebrating the 150th anniversary of the town when we were there in our tenor of our first church. But when we moved into that town years ago, when you go through an old mining town, you can tell that all the houses were built the same. Because back in the 1800s, when the mine companies owned everything, they owned the land, they owned everything on top of the land, they owned everything under the earth. They owned everything. They built these little towns, and then they brought in people to mine out the coal. But you didn't own your own house. You did not even, you didn't even get cash for your hard work working in the mines. They would pay you according to script. And if you did not keep your balances in check, you could go home one day and all your stuff would be thrown out onto the lawn and you had to leave town because there was no place for you. You didn't have a job anymore. I mean, that's how much control. In fact, they used to have the sheriff of the town greet you at the railroad stations with guns to find out who you're visiting, because they didn't want union people to come in. They were in such control of the town. Well, when they built these houses, this is the amazing thing. Every one of these houses that they built in a line next to each other were cracker box houses. Every single one of them did not have a foundation. Every house built in the 1800s were built on stilts. And it wasn't until the turn of the century that in the early 30s, 40s, and even in as late as the 50s that people were able to buy the homes themselves, and then they were able to take their homes, and what they did was they dug basements, and then they built a foundation, and then they lowered the house onto it. And that was apparent when we first moved to our house. It was so creaky and rocky and unlevel when they put the foundation in the 50s into our house. The chimney, they didn't have it supported, lowered when they lowered the house onto the foundation that they built. And so you could take a bag of marbles anywhere in the house and you could throw the marbles down and they'd all roll to the center of the house. I mean, that's how strong everything was. If you went down into the basement, it was really interesting. You would go down into the stairs, and the person who did the basement in our house wasn't rich. He didn't have enough money to buy really good, strong building materials. He couldn't afford cement blocks and cement mortar. He just took stone, and put stone, clay, and gravel down as the foundation. And that was pretty good. I mean, we lived in the mountains of western Pennsylvania, and we weren't near any oceans or any bodies of water, so that sounds good, right? Except when we got a lot of rain, that would all come in from the walls. It would be like springing leaks everywhere. And so what they had to do to compensate for over the years, by the time that we got there, was they tried to put mortar over it, and of course the water would always push it off. And they took cement and they built channels all along the walls of the house. And it basically was functionally useless. You could not put things down in the basement. Everything would mold. Everything would get rotted. Everything, you know, because there was no controlling the water. It was just a place, an empty space that we couldn't use. A lot of people, and I think about that, a lot of people, you often think, what is the condition or what is the foundation of my life if I were to kind of put that whole thing into terms like this? How would you describe the house of your life? What kind of a foundation is the house of your life set on? Is it a steady, solid foundation? Is it a foundation that settles occasionally and there are cracks around the doorways of your home? If you lost your marbles, would they all roll to the center of the house? Are there serious leaks and broken pipes in the foundation of your house and your life? Maybe the foundation of your life won't make it through a big storm if the Lord would send a trial your way. Or maybe what needs to take place is that foundation needs to be removed and rebuilt on Christ. If you don't know the Lord as your personal Lord and Savior, it's definitely what Christ is trying to say by the end of this message is make sure that you know Christ is your Savior. He's the only sure foundation for you. And if you are building with other things than on Christ, you're not going to last through the storms of life. You're not going to last. And so what he does here is he just does a real quick comparison again, as he did the last two times that we've looked at this text. And in Matthew chapter 7, let's look at the four things that are basically descriptives and comparisons of what he's going to talk about. First of all, Jesus is going to compare two builders. He's going to compare two men who are building their houses. Secondly, he's going to compare two foundations. Third thing, he's going to compare the weathering of a storm or a hardship. One is going to end in disaster. One is going to stand. And then fourthly, there's a comparative of reactions to what Jesus is teaching at the very end. And you can see it very clearly. There are two words that are in that passage that are going to show us. So let's begin with Jesus' comparison of the two builders, the wise and the foolish man. Verse 24 says this, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken them to a wise man who builds his house on the rock." And then in verse 26, he says, "But anyone who hears these words or sayings of mine and does not do them is like the foolish man who built his house on the sand." So we have two builders here in the passage, in the story. And I got to remind you that the audience that is listening to this are religious people. They are not people who you could look at and say, oh, they are really godless people. He wasn't talking to ISIS. He wasn't talking to atheists. He wasn't talking to a crowd of people. He was talking to all the people who wanted to be in the kingdom of heaven. But the problem was that some of these people were pretenders, and they thought they belonged to the kingdom of heaven. And they would have told you, I'm a religious person. I'm a godly person. I believe in God. I know God. And even James says, you know, even the demons know who Christ is, and they fear and tremble. You know, so it's not a matter of knowing. There's something very important that's missing here. And as he's talking to these hypocritical Pharisees, the people who thought they deserved heaven and they looked good and they looked the part and they knew everything about what the Bible said, these people would say, well, in your story, Jesus, I am obviously the wise man. What makes you think you're the wise man? Well, look at my life. Look at everything in my life. I've built all this stuff on my life. And how do you know you're not the fool? Do you know, it's interesting. If you do a word study on that word fool, it's the Greek word moron or moron. Stupid. Somebody who is so self-deceived, so stupid, so empty of the knowledge. But not only is it's not just I don't know something, it's the actions from that person don't show it or live it. In other words, they're foolish because they don't fear God. They're foolish because they think they know things, but it doesn't mean that they do them or live them. And so that's what makes them a fool. Now, these two builders are building, and everything that they're doing in this parable, I think Jesus is saying it's exactly the same. I don't think he was telling the story and he was pointing over to this great big mansion up on a hillside and he said, okay, you know, that when you look at that house, who do you think lives there? Oh, somebody's rich. And he's not doing that. And then he points to a little shed down on the beach and he says, now who lives there? Oh, that's the fool's house. I think what he was doing when he was telling the story is that he said two builders, they look exactly the same. They're twins. And they're not building on the beach or up on the mountain. They're just building in town, side by side. And they have the same desires. They are building a house to provide for their family. They enjoy life. They just want to enjoy themselves. They just want to dwell in ease and live a good life and aspire success. And you wouldn't look at the houses and say, well, that's the house of a fool and that's the house of a rich man. You wouldn't be able to tell. Everything that they were doing is the same. They had the exact same position of where they built the houses. They were identical in their efforts in the elements. Each builder used the same materials. They used the same lumber company. They used the same nails. They used the same hammers. They used the same efforts. Both buildings were going up at the same time, and there was no difference. But here's the thing that is obvious, that the part that was different was unseen. It was inside them, because one person was wise and one person was foolish. And you can't tell that from the outside, and you can't tell that from the house. Well, you say, well, you know, a foolish person, you know, he would make mistakes. Well, Jesus wasn't painting that picture. He's painting the picture that the characteristic of a wise man, the word in the Hebrew is Sophia, where we get the English word Sophia for a name. It means to be knowledgeable, skilled in making a trade. In fact, in the Old Testament, it was used to describe the gold craftsmen who formed the temple furniture and made those beautiful articles, such as the lampstand and the altar and the prayer thing. They were so well, they knew how to not only do something, but they knew how to carry it through to beauty. That's what made a person wise. A wise person, therefore, according to the scriptures, if you chase it down in the Bible, is somebody who is obedient to the things that the Lord says, and they have good conduct, purity, they're peaceable, they're gentle, they're open to reason, they're full of mercy, they have good fruits, they're impartial, they're sincere, and they know the word. That's a wise person. And the only way you can tell is when you see them act. Now, a foolish person, that word moron, is someone who's unthinking, stupid, self-reliant, self-focused, angry, bitter, jealous, selfish, ambitious, lies, is earthly, unspiritual in thinking, and even can be demonically influenced, according to the book of James, chapter 4. They are disordered and vile in every practice. The rejection of the things of God is what makes them a fool. When God says, do this, they say, no, that makes you a fool. I think there are a lot of people who would deem themselves wise when they're not, because they're not listening to God. And there are a lot of people who would be foolish and don't know it because they're not listening to God. That's really the bottom line of what Jesus is saying here, because look what I read. It says, whoever hears, verse 24, these things and these sayings of mine is like the wise man. And then look at verse 25. Everyone who hears these things and does not do them, he's the foolish man. That's the only way you can tell who this is. So when you have acted foolishly but thought you were wise, does it make you wise? No. How is ignoring Jesus foolish? Because you're ignoring the things that God wants you to do. The beginning of wisdom is to fear God and to do the things that he says. And so how do I know I'm being wise? Well, are you taking the things that Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount and are you doing them? Are you loving your enemies? Are you being pure? Are you foolish? Are you murdering people in your heart? Remember the stories that Jesus told and all the different comparisons and all the different things? You will be a foolish person if you hear those things and never live what God tells you to do. That is the only way you can figure out whether you're wise or foolish. So ask yourself, am I wise or am I foolish? Now, Jesus, what he does at the second point is that he's comparing the two foundations. One is the foundation of a rock. As I went out in my garden this morning, I made sure that I got, you know, there's this rock out there that actually Jeslowski's gave it to me. It's about this big. And, you know, I'm not going to bring that down to church today. Okay, so I had to look for something that was a little more flat, a little bit more constructive oriented. So I grabbed this one instead. And this little stepping stone, and I thought, you know, that's really nice, you know. It's good, solid. If I were to hit you on the head, it wouldn't hurt. But it's good. It's firm. You know, if we got a rainstorm, this wouldn't wash away. Okay, yeah, I like that. See, that's what Jesus is doing. And what he's doing at this point is he's comparing in the story. There was one who had built with a rock in comparison to the one who built on sand. Okay, you know the sand. And I know there are many of you who are thinking, ooh, I hope Pastor has a good sweeper. but when you saw this, I know some people after the service are going to come to me and go, I thought you were going to do that illustration where you put the rocks in the jar and then you put the sand in and try to do. No, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that at all. But I want you to see the difference. The difference of the rock, of course, Christ says he's the rock in the passage. The one who is wise and listens to the things of God, whereas the one who's building on sand, and the idea there is it's the idea of something that sifts. It's itself. It really is self. And the reason why sand is a really good illustration of this is because when you think about relying on yourself, you're building your life for self-confidence, for selfishness, for pride, for achievement, to be recognized, to get good things. If you're building your whole life on self, that can't hold the things that you put into your life. So how do you build? How do I know as a Christian that I am building on this rock? So I brought my kids' toys, my grandson's toys today, and we're going to build. Because I was asking the question, how do I know I'm building on the rock? Now, there are three things, and I thought through this really well. How do I know I'm growing? And I thought, well, I could give you an acrostic for grow, G-R-O-W. And the four things that are showing that you're growing, G, go to church, R, read the Bible and obey it, O, obey the Bible and pray, and Y, or W, witness to others. But I thought, you know, that's just too easy. I want to answer the question, how do I know I'm growing? What am I doing that shows that I'm growing? So if you look in your outline, it's not going to be on the screens, there are three things that I think are important for us to build on Christ our whole life. And these are things that, if you want to call them, are little practices, like little checks off the box. And the first one is you must know Christ personally as your Lord and Savior. There was a time in my life when I asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins and come into my heart and my life. And that has to be important. That is the first, that step of grace is the very first thing that is important to building on the foundation of Jesus Christ. If you've never done that, if you've never done that at all, you can honestly say my life is being built on the wrong thing. It's being built on the sand. It's not being built on the things of Christ. So what does it mean to grow then? Well, it means this. What you want to do is, oh, let's do this. We have different things that we can do to grow. You want to start learning the Word of God. You want to start growing and praying. You want to start having devotional time. You want to start seeing the grace of God and the Spirit of God work in your heart and your life. So thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So we study Scripture and we understand the message and we start going to church. And when we go to church, we start, can you see this over there? And you start going to church and you start learning the things from God's word, and you worship around people that have the same foundation as you, and you start worshiping the Lord and loving the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and you're growing, and you're you're so excited at all the wonderful things that are happening as you grow. And yeah, you slip and you confess your sin, and he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But the first thing you got to do is you got to grow. You got to know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of who? Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then after you do that, you have to start doing what Jesus taught. You have to start doing what Jesus taught. Some of the things that he taught us to do is to serve others. And you find out your spiritual gift. And you find out that as you're growing in things, you're doing ministry. And you start doing a ministry as you're attending church. And you're using your spiritual gift. And you're trusting in God with all your heart. And you're learning the promises of God and learning to trust him in everything that he has you doing. And you start being generous, and you start using your time and your talents and your treasure, and you start giving an offering or a tithe of 10%. And you know, it's always a good place to start there. And you start giving to the Lord your service. And so you're growing. And that's important. And that's what we need to be doing in our Christian lives. We need to be growing. We need to be giving our hearts to him. And so you do the things that Jesus taught. And then here's the third one, that you must desire to be like him. So as you're praying, you get mad at your boss, and you kick your dog, and you do something you shouldn't be doing, and you get caught in it, and you have to confess. Part of the Christian life is not being perfect, but confess your sin to the Lord, 1 John 1:9. And you receive the consequences of that. And you confess to the things of the Lord, and you confess always. You're always regularly confessing. You're always, you know, nobody's perfect. You're always confessing your sins and growing in the things of the Lord. And then you're going to start asking the Holy Spirit to help develop in you things that you've never had in your life before. And you start asking the Lord to start giving you the power of the Spirit of God and the grace of the Spirit of God. And it's a wonderful thing. And then you're gonna start fighting sinful things in your life. And you're going to pray on the armor of God. And you're going to have accountability groups and small groups. And you're going to go to the small group, and you're gonna share with them, hey, I'm really weak in this area of my life. Would you pray for me? And they're going to pray for you, and you're going to start to see God answer some prayers. And then you're going to go through some hard times. And you're going to start doubting whether or not, is God going to fail me? Is God going to fail me? But you just keep trusting, and you keep asking him to help you through it. And he's going to help you through it. And then you're going to have some major victories in your life. And you know what happens when you have major victories in your life? I call them towers. Towers of strength that God builds in our life. So let me try to do that, you know. So I'm going to build us a tower. Tower of strength that God's building in my life. Yeah, Lord's building a tower in me. And I'm trusting him. Why? Because I'm doing the things he said for me to do. I'm not just hearing it and saying it, but I'm actually living it out in my life. And when God answers prayer in such a great and wonderful way, I mean, isn't that great? Or maybe I start helping someone who needs to build a tower in their life. And so I'm going along and sharing with them and putting the windows in upside down and confessing my sins and asking God to forgive me and putting the window in right. And then I keep, I did it again. Had to confess my sin again, because we're imperfect and we're growing in the things of God. And then I just let the Lord, I'm helping my friend, and I'm actually telling him about Jesus, and he's starting to ask questions about, well, why would God do that for you? Because God is faithful and true, and he never fails me. He said, but you got cancer. I know I got cancer, but he's not failing me. And I keep trusting him, and I keep praying, and I see God is answering the prayer. And all of a sudden, the guy goes, would you take me to church with you? And they accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. And woohoo! And you're just building. You're just building these things faithfully to the Lord. And you're growing in him and doing the things that he says. And God is doing some great and wonderful things in your life. And that's how you grow. And it takes time. It just doesn't happen all at once. It just doesn't happen overnight. But it just takes time as the Lord is working and growing and building in your life. That's how you build your life on a foundation. So is that your life? Are you doing that right now in Christ Jesus? Yeah, I'm doing that. Well, if you are doing that, then you're doing all the right things. You are being wise. You are growing in grace and in your foundation of Jesus Christ. You're doing all the right things, and that should encourage us. That should encourage us. So what is the foundation of my house? Is it firm? What is it like right now in my life? If I were to build on the foundation of my life, am I going to need a barn-raising party? Do I need support from friends to grow more? Do I need instruction on what it takes to have the right foundation? Do I desire, or do I just want to give up and I desire to move? I just want to move somewhere else. You know, if you try to move, you're going to take your problems with you. And you're not going to find answers to your problems. Sometimes the strength of the heavy labor is not in the moving, but it's in the seeking of God. But, you know, I have to say, too, on the balance of that, sometimes God does want you to move because he needs you to work in someone else's life, and he needs you to work in a way that it's going to win someone to the Savior. Maybe the foundation of your life, you need a good plan, some good drawings. If you need a good plan, go here. Go to the Word of God. This is the best blueprint for your life. The Word of God will never let you down. You know, but the biggest lie is when we get to the third point. So we've seen two men, one's wise, one's foolish. What is God building in your life? In the area where it's unseen. We've seen the foundation, a rock, and we've seen sand, is selfishness and self-achievement and self-goals and self-wants and self-ways. But now, see, this is one of the lies of the world. The world says that if you really are loved by God, you will never have problems. Have you ever heard that? Why is it that everybody always thinks that? Because when you give, I found out, you know, when I gave my heart, my life to Jesus, my life had more problems. Whoa, that's a surprise. Because as Jesus is telling the story, he says, when the rain comes, when the storm comes now on these two houses, and you can't tell which house is which, because they were built the same way, and the only difference was what was on the inside, and you can't tell if it's on a foundation of rock, you can't tell if it's on a foundation of self. You really don't know until you get in there and see what you've been building on. And all of a sudden, the hardship comes, and we cry out, God, where are you? How could you let this happen to me? It was a year ago in North Carolina, Chimney Rock. When that storm took place, do you remember the occurrence? It was Hurricane Helene coming up the Atlantic coast. And you know what is really interesting is that, do you know Chimney Rock is 300 miles inland? And when you see the before and after of it, the whole downtown of Chimney Rock, North Carolina, was wiped out. You can see on the left, you can see what it was, and then on the right, you can see it, the after the hurricane. There's not a structure there. And we know that people lost their lives there. And you look at the before and after, and you know that Route 9 and the two other U.S. highways that went up through that valley, they were completely destroyed. Look at the paving on the road below. If you were to travel up US 9, that's the road you would be going up into the national park where the Chimney Rocks are. But look in the picture above. Look at the totally wiped away because the storm came. Nobody promised that the storm wouldn't come. Can you imagine what people would think of us if the day before this storm hit North Carolina, we knew that this town was going to be devastated. And I'm walking up Route 9 through the middle of that town with this big old sign that says, "Repent, the hurricane is coming." Do you think people would think I'm wise? How would people respond to me? Are you a fool? Are you a fool? I mean, we're not anywhere near the ocean. Come on. You're a fool, aren't you? Until the next day. That is how a fool plays with God in his life. When a hardship comes to a born-again believer, they run to Christ for help. When an unsaved person who's building their life on self is surprised by the devastation. You know, these houses stood. You want to know why? Built on a rock. Built on a rock. Built on a rock. What is your life built on? Where are you building? Have you lost hope in your life? Maybe you're going through a difficulty right now in your life and you're not sure you're going to make it through. Maybe it's the illness that you're going through, or maybe it's a time of aging in your life, or maybe it's a time of loss and a time of disappointment that the kids, they went their way and they're not living for the Lord, and the Lord doesn't seem to be answering prayer, and you're feeling like you're going to give up hope. But listen, it's not God that's given up on you. He won't fail you. Doesn't matter the hardship that you're going through. What is important is that you obey him and you listen to him. And yeah, maybe the storm is going to come, and maybe the storm is going to do this to one of the little areas of your life. But did the foundation fail? Or maybe the storm is going to come and cancer is going to come into your life and... But did the foundation fail? Only the things that fail are the things that we build with sand. So if you're growing in the Lord and the things of the Lord and you're building your life on his word, you're going to be strong. And it doesn't mean that God isn't going to bring hard times into your life. Don't lose your faith. Maybe you're at a point in your life where you are just losing your faith. Don't lose your faith. And here's the last comparison, and this is the one that is the most amazing to me, more so than the story of the wise man built his. You know, I could have had every one of us stand up and sing that song this morning. What good would it have done? None. Because how Jesus ends his message. Verse 28. And so it was when Jesus had ended these things, the people were astonished at his teaching. You see that word astonish? It's the Greek word espresso. Does that remind you of an English word? A caffeinated drink? Coffee. Lots of caffeine. High strung. They were amazed. They were stopped in their tracks, and they were all stirred up. They were excited. It was like someone gave them a cup of coffee. Woo-hoo! You woke me up, Jesus. Woo! Good words. Good message. Thank you, Jesus. But that's the wrong response. Because verse 29, it says, he taught them as one having authority. See that word? Authority. It's the idea of not just knowing it, but preaching it in such a heavy, impacting way that you submit, you act in faith and obey, and you do something about it. So the first group of people were really foolish because they were like, "Woohoo, Kevin, I'm amazed. You're a good teacher." And then they left and they didn't do anything about their life. But the people that really had a change, they were tired of being stirred. They were tired of being challenged, but they changed. And that's what Jesus wants from us this morning as we come to the end of his Sermon on the Mount. Jesus wants our lives to be changed. Do you know, we sang earlier a wonderful little hymn. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Do you know the story of that hymn? The gentleman who wrote it was, let's get my eyes on his name. Hang on a minute. His name was, Edward Mote. Edward Mote. And he was born in the 1780s in England. He was a very poor man. He was a cabinet maker, but when he came to know Christ, he said, you know, I didn't know how foolish I was. I didn't know how ignorant I was about the things of God. But when he accepted the Lord as his Savior, guess what? He continued to be a cabinet maker. But he liked to sing. In fact, one of his verses that he liked to sing, he memorized the scriptures, Psalm 40, verse 3. He put a new song in my heart, even praise to my God. And he used to go around and he used to think about, well, that would be a neat song. He was working one day, and he saw a rock, and he goes, you know, it would be, you know, my work as a cabinet maker would do better if I had a good foundation, and so he started putting together these words, and he wrote them down. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. Why? Because Jesus died for. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. In other words, the things in life that are sweet to me, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. Even during the storms of my life, I trust Him. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone. Helpless, hopeful to stand before His throne on Christ, the solid rock. So he wrote those words down, and he carried them around in his pocket, and he started humming it. And he used to, when he found out that a very dear friend of his, a lady, was dying, he went to her bedside. Now, what would you say? Have you ever been at the bedside of someone who's dying? Do you know, it's interesting. I've never seen somebody die say things like this. Wow, I just wish I had $1 million more. I wish I had built a better house. Oh, I wish I had a better car. Never. She was in such turmoil. She said, sing me a song. And he's like, read me a verse. I didn't bring my Bible. He reaches in his pocket and he pulls out this song he wrote. And he just basically kind of sing songs that we don't know the tune that he used. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. She at that moment got so much peace and strength from that she said, before I die, I want to make sure Christ is my rock. And that's where we are this morning as we close. Is Christ your rock? Is He the foundation of your heart? Is He the foundation of your life? Is Jesus working inside your heart? What's happening on the inside? Where are you? What is God doing inside your heart? Are you building on Him, or are you building things of self? What are you doing? Where are you building? Let's bow our heads. And I just want to ask you, as you bow your head in prayer, just to listen a moment. Remember, Jesus said, I am the narrow gate of life. This world is going to the way of destruction. Have you asked Jesus and invited Him as your personal Lord and Savior? Have you walked through that gate? If you haven't, do it today. Only He can take us bad trees and make us good trees who bear good fruit and not be pretenders. What fruit is coming from your life? What choices are you planting in your life, and what fruit is coming from your life? Only He is what we need to build our life on. Only He is what can get through the toughest storms and safely to a hope in heaven. Only He has that ability. Have you given your heart to Him? Father, I pray that we see Jesus as our only strength, our only wise choice, our only wise way. I pray that you would open the eyes of people that are in this room that haven't built on the foundation of their life on Jesus. And that, Lord, they would not go another day without trusting you and being sure of the foundation of their life. Father, I pray for the safety and the fortitude and the power and the strength of Jesus to be living in them now. I pray that they would feel their weakness as if all their self-efforts of trying to be good enough or strong enough or perfect enough or religious enough, that you would allow them to see that that's just sand. And I pray that they would cry out and say, you know, if I were to die, if I were standing at that door of death, I don't have the peace. I don't have the assurance. You can have the peace. You can have the assurance this morning. If you ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, it's really easy. This is how you do it. Jesus, I realize that I have been trying to live my own life as a pretender. I realize that I'm trying to do it my own way, and I can't do it. It's not going to hold eternity. Forgive me for building on myself, for building for my own goals and achievements. Father, forgive me of my sins and come into my life and give me a new heart and give me God, let the Spirit of God come in. Do you know, loved ones, if you pray that prayer, the Bible says in Hebrews, I will never leave you. Put your name there. Father, I pray that you would be with the rest of us. Maybe we know the Lord is our Savior, but as we're looking at the foundations, as we go down in the basement of our lives, we see some things that have been done wrong. And we're asking, Spirit of God, help us to take note of those things. And by your grace, by your power, and not by our own self-efforts, will you begin to renovate our hearts and through the power of the Spirit of God, make us stronger in you. Father, make our lives unsinkable and immovable because we're on Christ. And lastly, maybe you're here today and you're saying, Father, I just don't have a lot of confidence in the foundation that I am on because of the trial that I'm going through. Father, if someone is feeling broken, Lord, I just pray that you would give them the confidence in you, that you would lift them up, that you would whisper in their ear, I won't fail you. And Father, as we get to the end of this series of the Jesus Way, we all want to choose Jesus. Father, let that be our heart's desire. Live and choose Jesus. Live his way. And it's in Christ's name we pray. And all God's people said.
Would you please stand?
If you hurt me, I will.
would basically say, it's your move. You choose. You're dismissed.